Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. As Kaboom just said before we started the show, it's way too early for this, earmuffs, kids. It's way too early for this shit, but we got to do it early today because we got a lot to talk about. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Kambali and Mac. Make sure you're following on all the social media, especially because it's the 412 days of Christmas here on Kambali and Mac, which means I say today, Kaboom, we just pick someone out of the chat. How's that sound? Somebody who comments on the show on YouTube or Facebook or X or wherever they're watching it. We pick somebody randomly out of the chat and hook them up with some 412 gear. Sound good?
Yeah.
you are bubbling over with excitement. Congratulations to Matt Sable of Williamsburg, PA, who won these beautiful 412 beanies.
Congratulations to Matt Sable.
What, you got the show on your phone while we're doing the show. No, what the hell? Did you want to make sure it was working?
No, you actually tagged me or something, and I hit it, and it just come up.
Of course, you get, anyway, Matt, these will be shipped out to you by the end of the week, my friend. Thanks
a little bit late, huh? Could have used those today. Could have used those yesterday.
Yeah, he said he's a bald man, so in dead of winter, he appreciates having these beanies shipped out to him. We appreciate 412 for getting on board with Kaboom and Mac. And today, up for grabs, we're going to get into all the Fire Tomlin stuff. Don't worry. We're going to get into Aaron Rodgers' birthday celebration, sure. Big Ben has chimed in on the whole situation as well. We'll let you hear that. And Jim Wexel's going to visit today because he's got a new book coming out. And the holidays, the perfect time to buy your Steeler loving friends some Stiller books. Today from Shot 412, check out this beauty, a little Arnold Palmer 412 action. What do you think of that?
Arnold Palmer. Why don't you bring it up a little closer to the camera so the fellas can see it?
There you go. See, look, it's got that Arnold Palmer umbrella right there. It's got the Arnie signature on the side. Little
never
shot
seen that one before. Action.
Yeah, some limited edition stuff today.
I've never seen that before.
If you jump in the comments today, you'll be eligible to snag that Shot 412 gear during the 412 days of Christmas. We appreciate them supporting the show. We appreciate our friends at Nail Studio 2 as well, who have been supporting the show since the very beginning. Well, since almost the very beginning, since the summertime. They've been on board because they realize, guys, first of all, you got people in your lives that probably get their nails done. Second of all, maybe you need to get your feet taken care of or something. Whatever you do, they got a special Black Friday deal that continues now into December, where if you go in store and buy a $100 gift card, you'll get an additional $20 gift card for another service. Got to stop in store. Their location out there, Lakeview Square on 19 in the South Hills, McMurray Peters Township area. You can book those appointments online too. Maybe book your significant other a little manicure, pedicure action for the holidays. Nailstudio2.com. It's a Roman numeral, nailstudioii.com, or give them a call, 724 941-4595. So we got the business out of the way. Fire Tomlin. That was the chant Sunday night. We talked about it on the post-game show, Kaboom. But I thought it was interesting when Mike Tomlin had a couple days to marinate on it, how he responded to it when he was asked by Brooke Pryor yesterday.
Personally, when they're calling for you to go.
You know, in general, I agree with them.
In general, I agree with them. Am I the only person that found that odd? Like,
well, first of all, that wasn't Brooke Pryor.
Oh, it wasn't? Who was it?
That was, you know, when they start bringing out the news people, the Shumways of the world. Okay. You know it's big time. I think that was Channel 4's Marcy Cipriani. Is that how you pronounce her name?
My apologies. It sounded like Brooke.
Believe so.
And it came from her direction of
the room. So, you know, when Sheldon Ingram would show up, Tomlin would look at him and say, well, this must be a big one. Same was with Shumway back in the Coward days. So when they start bringing out the news people, you know, maybe we can see Andy Sheen, whatever the hell his name is.
Marty Griffin shows up. You know, some shit's going down.
Hit the road. So, I see. I took it different than you. I took it as a sign of arrogance. I
mean, a lot of people jumped in the comments when I posted that yesterday and said the same thing.
To me, it was like snicker shit. Yeah. I'll just say it this way. I don't really mean it because you fools think I'm actually going to get fired. I'll patronize you with, yeah, me too, man. You know, that's the way I took it. Maybe he didn't mean it that way, but that's how it came off to me.
Okay. Well, neither one of those two options is very good, I don't think. Like, if the first option is my perspective on it, like, yeah, I kind of got one foot out the door already. Maybe I agree with what they're saying about me. That's pretty bad. Like, that's the quiet quitting that people do at their jobs when they're like, yeah, you know what? I don't think this is right for me anymore. I'm going to show up for the next few weeks and see how things work out. But got my eyes outside the building.
I mean, we're talking about a guy of, nearly 20 years on the job. He knows what to say. He's not saying that having some ulterior motive or anything like that. So I think he just probably answered it poorly, honestly. I don't think he has any underlying theme like, yeah, I should be fired. Yeah, I'm heading out the door. I mean, how do you answer a question? I mean, I'm not really backing him here, but if somebody said to you, hey, Chris Mack, do you think you should be fired? How do you answer that in front of the world?
I'd probably say something like, I still think I'm the best man for the job.
You would get hammered for that. You would get hammered for that if you're in his situation.
Well, he's being hammered nonetheless because there are people like me who think it's a sign that maybe he's kind of quietly giving up on this thing. And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum, like your perspective, which is, no, I'm untouchable. I'm Teflon. Yeah, I should be fired. Okay.
That's what it's come across as me. But, I mean, he had to know that something of that question was coming down the pike, so he was probably aware of it or probably versed of in his head of what he wanted to say and how it wanted to come across. Maybe he just was taken back by where the message came from.
Yeah, apologies to Marcy Cipriani of WCAE.
Who's this? What?
Yeah. So you really think it was more of a... Yeah, okay, that's nice. They can change that.
That's how I viewed it. I mean, it doesn't mean that's what it meant.
Right, but that's your perspective on it. That's your opinion.
The smirk would got me.
And I'll be honest, you're around him a whole hell of a lot more than most people. So you would understand his body language and his responses to things more than certainly someone who's never down there on a Tuesday.
You still got that clip? Look at the smirk.
Oh, the smirk is obvious. Yeah,
I mean, that's what got me.
The smirk.
Boy, I'm really reading a lot
into it. They're calling for you to go.
You know, in general, I agree with them.
I mean, look, the look on the face says it all to me. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure. I need to go. Yeah, whatever you guys say. Okay.
It was like I knew the question was coming, so here it is. I mean, we're sitting here parsing every word he says.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We are.
But,
well, when,
I mean, when he doesn't give us any other words, we got to parse something, right?
Well, and when you're in the situation he's in, words are going to be parsed. When you admit that you're 6-6 and it's disappointing to be there and you've lost just as much as you've won this year. And he did elaborate further on that question, but I didn't think it really added any further context. He basically said, well, we understand we're in the business of sports entertainment, and part of being entertained for the fans is winning, and we're not winning right now. So it, like that made a little bit more sense than the initial response of, yeah, I generally agree with them. I was just like, that's weird. That's odd. Even Ben Roethlisberger has jumped in to say maybe it's time.
Talked about around here a lot. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's a clean house time. Maybe it is. Maybe it's time. And I like Coach Tomlin. I have a lot of respect for Coach Tomlin. Maybe it's best for him too.
Sure.
Maybe a fresh start for him is what's best. Whether that's in the pros, whether maybe go be Penn State's head coach. You know what he would do in Penn State? He'd probably go win national championships.
Because
he's a great recruiter.
Man, he did that. He put that on Penn State, who can't find a head coach right now.
Yeah. You know what? Never say never, but never. There's not a booster out there with a
big enough blank check
to. Right? You know, I honestly don't like how this narrative is going, twisting towards now. Maybe this is best for Coach Tomlin to do it. All due respect, the hell with him. You know, you should worry about the Steelers. I don't care crap where he goes or what's best for him. What's best for the organization, the franchise?
But we know, based on the way Art Rooney II handles this organization, that we talked about it post-game on Sunday night. Even if he finally decides that it's time to detach from Mike Tomlin, he's going to do it in a way that attempts to save face for everybody involved. He's going to attempt to set Mike up for a soft exit, so to speak. You're not going to walk into his office on a Monday and say, you're fired, Vince McMahon style.
No, but once again, I don't want him to be, I don't know, am I using this correctly? I don't want him to be viewed as a martyr. Am I using that right?
Yeah, I guess you're on track. You're in the right ballpark.
Like I said, if I'm if I'm Art Rooney too, I don't say, what's best for Mike here? Maybe Mike needs to step away for a little bit. The hell with this franchising, these millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of fans and billions of dollars worth of how much this organization's worth. And let's see what's best for him. No, I don't want to go down that route. No.
You do understand why that line of thinking is coming out now.
I understand that, but
I wouldn't be surprised if
what's best for him.
I don't know if Mike and Ben talk all that often anymore, if at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if they have a conversation at some point, and Mike's like, you know what? Maybe it's best if I just get the hell out of here after this.
Oh, didn't Ben say something off color right before the Vikings game? After the Patriots game, maybe he said something that I don't think Tomlin
took kindly to.
Yes, I can't remember because I remember somebody in the locker room saying to me, "Hey, did you hear?" You know, I don't know if Tomlin was too thrilled with that. He was kind of short with him over in London or Ireland. I can't remember what exactly he said then.
I don't remember either, to be honest, because I don't watch footballing every week. This whole thing that's building, it's a whirlwind right now. It all stopped. Well, I shouldn't say it stops. It all hits pause if somehow they go to Baltimore and win on Sunday. It will slow the, right now the pot is on the front burner of the stove boiling over. if they beat the Ravens, at the very least, the heat gets turned down just a little bit. Maybe not from fans, but I would think from all the other noise. Typically, you don't have the media outside of Pittsburgh jumping into this fray about firing Mike Tomlin. Now you've got enough voices outside of Pittsburgh jumping into the fray as well, which I think is another interesting dynamic to this that people are jumping in.
Here's the thing, though. They end up winning a couple in a row here. All of a sudden, that might be counterproductive. See, Mike Tomlin hasn't lost his team. Mike Tomlin's still a good coach. Blah, blah, blah. But I think last week or two has been that tipping point that you're not getting a lot of these people back, regardless of what happens this year. But they made up their mind. They're done. I don't care if you beat Baltimore by 50. I don't care if you follow that up and beat by Miami by 50. It might be, they might make the playoffs, but I think that's what it's going to be. I think you talk about losing the locker room. I think he's lost a freaking fan base.
Do you think he's lost the room, though? Oh, that's a long,
no, here's
that's
the thing
a healthy
about,
pause.
I don't think so. I don't know what, I don't know what losing the room is.
Really, I think when your message rings hollow and people don't pay attention to it anymore, when one of your captains goes out and takes a stupid personal foul because Josh Allen need him in the belly.
No, he's just frustrated there. He probably shouldn't have said anything, but he was just frustrated. That's just frustration. I chalk that up to with Hayward. But what gets you, I don't think losing or the way you go about your business would lose a locker room. I think, not playing Jalen Warren nearly enough, not playing Pat Freiermuth nearly enough. Maybe that all of a sudden, what is he doing here? Are they trying to make us win here? Are they making us look maybe something like that?
Do they really know what they're doing with us? Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I think that's
more than just, hey, I'm not listening to the message.
Patrick Queen, who is really good friends with our buddy Trey Essex, is clearly been frustrated. He's mentioned communication issues, and there's things swirling about him complaining about defensive calls. So, I mean, it's quite possible there are guys in the room that are, especially ones that are relatively newer to the program, who have settled in and gone, man, this ain't what I expected.
Well, we saw that last year with Elliott and Queen. I mean, I don't know. I don't like to read anything that Aaron Rodgers says because I don't know what he's really thinking. But for him to casually say, yeah, those guys need to show up to some film sessions. Like, what?
Yeah.
These guys aren't showing up to film sessions?
Well, there was
you have to low-key this into the public rather than the coach do something about it?
Yeah, there was a
special. I'm surprised that. You surprised that didn't get as much play as it did?
Well, I think with everything swirling around Tomlin, I don't want to say Rodgers has gone onto the back burner, but I think for a lot of fans, the ire only really gets magnified in one direction at a time.
That's another dig at Tomlin, though, right? Well, these guys aren't showing up to freaking film sessions. What the hell?
Well, he also stood up for Tomlin post-game when Chris Carter asked him.
I mean, I swear to God, that is very good there where he was. It was like he was an actor.
Sat the water bottle down. Gave it
I know where you're going with this.
We'll get into Rodgers and his impact on things because there was a special film session at his Haas apparently last night.
I'll tell you one thing on Tuesday. Monday. I was down the south side.
Okay.
With the eye doctor, took the kid there. And I'm like, hey, you want to drive past the old Steelers facility?
Yeah.
And I drove the kid past there, and it was a full house, like 4:30, which is kind of unusual.
Well, probably should be.
Well, that's very unusual for a Monday. So I'm like, wow, there's a lot of cars in this parking lot at 4:30.
They probably all should be there on a Monday.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
given the way they've played the last couple of weeks. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. Special on your furnace tune-up checkup right now as the snow's on the ground and it's cold out for the rest of the winter. We're in our 4 months of darkness period here in Western PA. Get the furnace checked out. We'll do it at half the cost, $39.99 instead of $79.99. If you donate a new article of kids' clothing or a children's toy, that they'll get to the Foster Love Project, families with foster children. Schedule that furnace tune-up or any service or repair you need right now at Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call directly, 412-297-1852. As mentioned, we'll get to Rogers again in just a couple of minutes. Slay out, Thielen in, but we got a special guest. Let's bring him in. Our good friend, longtime Steelers reporter and author Jim Wexel here on Kabali and Mac. Jim, you look good. How are you, my friend?
Good, guys. Listening to your show, very interesting. Very well done.
I like how, Jimmy, I never thought you'd be a ring light type of guy. You just turned it on. How about that?
What do you mean a ring?
You know, it makes your face glow.
Yeah, I'm trying to turn it down. Too much glow here.
There you go. Yeah. Spot on.
I didn't take you for a ring light guy.
Complexions.
I didn't take you for a ring light guy.
All right, let's go with the.
So what do you make of Jim? You've been around this team for years, man. Mm-hmm. As Kaboom has as well.
Decades.
But you go back before Kaboom's time and my time. Yeah. You remember what it was like. This team has never fired a head coach, but they have sort of gently, not so gently, I guess, pushed a legendary head coach out the door before. It's been almost 35 years, but we talked about it on Sunday night. I said, what if it gets to a point where Art doesn't want to necessarily pull the Vince McMahon, Donald Trump move and say, you're fired or whatever nonsense. We know Art Rooney's not going to do that. What if he simply just makes it uncomfortable for Mike going into this offseason and says, your whole staff's gone and you're not in charge of firing the new ones? Is that sort of an end around for Rooney to making a move or making it very uncomfortable for Mike?
It wouldn't be surprising, would it?
No.
Really, you know, I have to push back a little bit on the gently put, like I did with somebody else yesterday, the gently pushing back of Chuck Knoll. He really wasn't pushed out. They wanted him to fire Joe Walton again and make some changes again. But, you know, as Rooney wrote in his autobiography, he was surprised when Chuck retired. And Chuck's wife said that Chuck had said early in the year, this is a Super Bowl team, but I'm too tired. This will be it. So anyway, there hasn't been a firing since Bill Austin, right? I mean, there's no defending anything after this past game. So I wouldn't be surprised by anything. In my opinion, the offensive coordinator has to go. And we know who the defensive coordinator is. It's the head coach. And, well, those methods aren't working. Whatever the problem is, the two defensive linemen, it's soft. It's just too soft, and it's been too soft. But the offense, my goodness. You know, I think Kaboom will say the same thing. Arthur Smith's a nice guy. He's probably too smart to be a communicator. I mean, we listened to his press conferences. And you say to yourself, this guy better be 10 times better in his offensive meeting room than he is here, because no wonder nobody knows what they're doing. I haven't heard any complaints about Arthur Smith's communication, except when he leaves press conferences and we all look at each other and say, did anybody get a sentence we could use here? The guy's not a great communicator, at least with us. I mean, is he self-correcting? Is he worried about giving information to us? I don't know, but man, that offense looked like poor communication from the head guy. That offense was, I started covering in 95. So I've been through 99, been through 2003. I don't remember a worse game, especially offensively. And I got to give the defense a little bit of a pass. What was the time of possession, Mark?
42 to 18.
I mean, yeah. And he tried hinting that Patrick Queen was kind of a excuse. And I think Patrick's better than most of the fans do. But you look at, I mean, the running attack was simple for the Bills was still pretty good against Patrick Queen. There's no excuse there, but I think the excuse of the offense not being able to get a first down, not being able to move the ball at all, has to give the defense a bit of a pass, a bit.
Jimmy, is it fixable at all this year, this next five games? Can you at least make it watchable or at least have a opportunity here to maybe sneak in the back door? Or are you like most of us out, tap out, white flag? Well, this team can't do it.
The thing is, everybody went crazy about the Bears game. The Bears are a good team. They lost by three on the road with their backup quarterback. So I thought they I thought it was an overreaction. But now, I mean, there's no excuse for this pass game. And if it looks like that again. But they have played some good teams pretty well. They beat some good teams. And the Ravens, are they a good team? I don't know. So I saw a stat that this is the latest in the season that they've played each other when neither of them have been over 500 since 1999.
Wow.
They were both 5-7 in 1999 when they played, and the Ravens won in Pittsburgh. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, Chris. Mm-hmm. You know, Art, people seem to look at him as not caring, only caring about the bottom line, and I have to disagree. I think he cares a lot. He's just a lot more quiet than Dan. He is not as – he's not a people person like Dan, where you could always – people would always talk about what Dan's saying, what Dan's thinking, how Dan's going to react. People kind of knew because he talked and – see him in the cafeteria. I see Art in the cafeteria and he's very pleasant and very friendly, but really he was trained as a lawyer and he's trained to keep quiet like we all basically should most of the time. And I mean, he's a professional, but it doesn't mean he doesn't care. Now, boy, it's going to take a lot for him to do that. What'd you say, that Vince McMahon thing?
Yeah.
He's got to at least do the coordinators. And I hate to throw Terrell Austin into that because I have a feeling he's just executing Mike Tomlin's wishes. But the offensive coordinator really has to be looking at being at the end.
I think he has another year in this deal, though. So that would have to be something unusual to get rid of him a year early.
I think Art could muster up enough to do that.
Yeah. And Kaboom asked about the last five games too, Jim. Like I said before you jumped on, I think they could go to Baltimore and win because, like you said, what the hell are the Ravens right now too? They're both 6-6 teams that are having trouble in a lot of different areas, especially on offense. And that's the case in Baltimore as well. So they could go into Baltimore and they could win. And I think maybe that turns it down from a rolling boil to maybe a slow simmer as far as Mike Tomlin goes, you know, outside of the fan base. The fan base is out on Mike Tomlin, and we know that. But I don't know, just in the last five games, short of this team going on like a 2005-style run where they win their last five games and go on a roll in the playoffs – I don't know if you're pulling people back under the Mike Tomlin tent who are Steelers fans right now and saying, okay, well, all right. I guess he gets another year. Like it's fans are out and fans are talking about, you know, look, Packers fans invading Heinz Field is one thing, but you know, fans are talking about, I'm not going, I'm selling my seats and all this stuff. And that's been a pattern we've seen a little bit more prevalent over the last decade or so. Because if you can pay for your season tickets with, you know, selling a couple of primetime games when you don't want to hang out on the North Shore till midnight, that just makes sense. But there, the passion has gone from, I need to be there for every game to, I can't believe what's going on. I'm embarrassed to be there. We've all talked to multiple people probably in the last 72 hours who said, oh my God, I was at the game. I couldn't believe it. The screen went black and the thump, thump, thump hit and people started booing. I've never been there for that before. That is, it sounds silly, booing renegade like that, but it's a shift in the way people are viewing the experience of actually being at the game. It used to be looked at when I was a kid as a privilege to get to go to a game, especially if your family didn't have tickets all the time. And now it's looked at as almost burdensome.
But it's definitely a way to make a statement, you know, because that's Renegade is corporate, you know, and you're booing corporate. And, you know, Monday night against the Dolphins, that'll be the big statement to make, too, if they're playing just as poorly. So, yeah, you know, in the 80s, I remember I was a Bears fan in the 85 Bears. Made Bears fans what Steelers fans of the 2000s were. And we took over Three River Stadium. So I've seen that before. I don't know that people remember the 80s that well. But, you know, Craig Wolfley's new book is out if you want to read about the 80s. And it's strange that people may want to read about the 80s now. That's how bad this team's playing.
Yeah, you know what? That tell us about that book. I mean, there is not a guy that I've met. There are very few that could tell a story like the Wolfman. I mean,
I know
what a great guy of being able to just bring colorful words everywhere from the paper to the mouth to the radio to be able to tell a story. It had to be wonderful to work with him.
Oh man, it was, you know, it was wonderful to edit his work on a, you know, the Steelers are playing a Sunday, and I like Mike Tomlin, and I don't see that you can fire a coach who has never lost, had a losing record, and even if he wins this division, as you're saying, Chris, you're not bringing the fans back, but it'll be difficult for Art to fire coach of the division champion, no matter if they get blown out in the playoffs. I mean, Art's driven by logic. But you would have to criticize to a degree on Sunday night, Monday morning when I would write, and then it would come Wolfley's column. And, I mean, he had a way of making you feel better. I mean, he would criticize, but with the love of a coach. Who's trying to make you better. And it was always a buffer for me, because then my other guys would come in on Wednesdays and rip again. But Wolf made it easy. And you're right, Mark, the way he put things, I think we took for granted at the time. And now with this book, some of his stories, I tell the other story about Jack Ham. I've told that on enough radio shows, things like that. But there's another story. I don't know if you remember how afraid of lightning Craig was. You remember that, Mark? We waited out a couple of storms.
Didn't he have a family member struck twice or something like that? If I recall this story.
Well, maybe struck twice, but there were four family members.
That's what it is.
And his dad, Ron Wolfley, got knocked off his feet, wasn't hurt, but he was a milkman and the milk cans got struck. And then apparently one of his uncles was killed by lightning. A sister was knocked on her keister by lightning, hit her umbrella, was hit. There were four family members. So Craig, you know, Ron Wolfley told Craig, you know, about all the family members. And so Craig grew up frightened to death of it. So anyway, they're in Cincinnati and the Steelers are winning easily and they're down to the kneel downs and a storm's rolling in. And Wolf goes up to the ref and points to the clouds and the thunder. They had no lightning yet. And they're ready to kneel down. And Wolf says, "Hey, can we just get out of here?" And he goes, he writes, "The ref gave me a sanctimonious smug look of someone who didn't know Ron Wolfley." and so they had to kneel down, went back in the huddle, came back out, and then there was some lightning. And Wolf said he got real close to the ref and said, "You know, there were four of my family members have been hit by lightning, and it's in my DNA. Will you get us out of here? And the ref, he said he still had that smug look, and Wolf said, do you want me to hug you? Get away from me. And Wolf said they got this, the final kneel down and ran off the field and nobody got hurt. And anyhow, stories like that, his plan of blocking Jack Ham at one of the first practices. Wolf was a rookie in 1980 and he was looking across at all these Hall of Famers and in practice. And he said, you know, Jack Ham, if you looked at the gray in his beard, you'd think you could even make a name for yourself. And here I'm being the call is for me to pull over to Jack Ham's side. And here's my chance to lay out a Hall of Famer and impress everybody. And he says the snap was made and I'm pulling and I'm looking at the six hole. And where's Jack Ham? He's supposed to be there. He's not there. All of a sudden, Wolf gets knocked on his ass, you know, and he looks up. It's Jack Ham smiling at him. And where did he come from? How did this happen? Why? How does a guy that old beat me? Those stories on and on and on it went. They're short stories, and they go from his first game. He went to the Rock Pile, a War Memorial Stadium in Buffalo, and he grew up in Buffalo, and one of his buddies was Jim Burt, if you remember, the nose tackle mm-hmm. for the Giants, when the Lawrence Taylor Giants. And, Syracuse, not too much of that. I would actually have liked more of that, but it's all Steelers. You know, he's a Steelers lifer, and stories for all the way up through Roethlisberger, interviewing Roethlisberger on the field before the Colts game when he made the big tackle, and all the noise and how it had been piped in during the regular season and they had been busted doing it. And he was talking to Ben. And then of course, Ben made the big tackle that game and Marquise Pouncey stories and all kinds of things like that. Stories about his family and Wolf died. He died the day this manuscript was due.
Wow.
And he had it all in. He had it in early. I mean, he got sick. He was diagnosed 20 days before he died. Cancer took him quick. And it makes you wonder about God and destiny. And this book was supposed to have been done and his stories were supposed to have been told. And then he passed the day the manuscript was due. We just had some things we had to do. And Faith, his widow, and I, and Ronnie, his brother. And
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
His son Kyle, and we all it made it a family thing. You know, we had plans of Rocky Blyer, John Kolb, things like that as forwards and afterwards. But we and those guys agreed with us later that let's make this a family deal and make it precious. And I think we did. And it's not all about the 80s, but I do make that joke that it is time to read about the 80s.
Yeah. I think you're right. Cause like if you're under the age of like 35 or 40, you don't remember those years. I remember those years because it was when I first started watching football and Mark and I are around the same age. So, you know, the biggest moment around the Steelers and say like the mid to late 80s was like when the cops would drive around your neighborhood and hand out those free football cards and you'd look at them and you go, oh, did I get Mike Merriweather? Did I get Walter Abercrombie? And those were the big names, you know, other than whoever the quarterback happened to be that year, Malone, Brister. And so those were, you know, I remember in particular, this is early 90s, but those back-to-back opening thumpings by the Browns and the Bengals in 91, I think it was. And just thinking, man, I've grown up as a kid. I was 11, 12 years old at the time. I've grown up as a kid hearing from everyone in my family about the Super Steelers and how, you know, dominant they were. And you'd watch the NFL films, highlights of the Super Bowls and everything that had happened right before you were born, if you were like Mark or I. and you go, where the hell are these super Steelers? And so if you're under the age of, like I said, 35, 40 years old, you don't remember the dark days of, say, the mid, you know, mid 83, 84, all the way up through 90-ish.
What the thing about those dark days, you know, 88, they went, they were 2-10. Everybody's calling for Chuck Noll. I mean, it wasn't like it is today with the internet and the social media, but they had their ways of getting to you. And I remember my boss was a big Chuck Noll guy, and he just couldn't let it go of what he did. And he took abuse. He took abuse from other writers. But they were 2-10, and then they won three of their final four. And Dermonti Dawson was a key to that. He had just come back and played right guard. So it's hard to believe a right guard could be a key to your strong finish, but he had, there was hope. And then they started 89. It was 89, Chris, where they started with those two games. 51, was it 51 nothing and 46-10 or something to the Browns and Bengals. And then that year they almost went to the AFC Championship game. So that's where the difference is. Those were dark days. And Chuck Noll was still doing his things, and he was infuriating the fan base. But man, he put it together, and they'd surprise you, shock you in the playoffs. That 89 team, they almost beat Denver, and then would have went to the AFC Championship game. Then they had upset the Oilers first, and just about almost beat the Broncos in Denver. They had their moments, and then 91, and they started putting some. Players together. They started putting a base together and left a nice base for Cowher in 92. The horrible move, and fans have a way. It's one saving grace for Arthur Smith is that fans and media ran Tom Moore out of town in 89 and begat Joe Walton, who was just horrible. But Tom Moore turned out to be probably one of the might have been the best assistant coach Chuck Noll ever had if it wasn't for Dungy. You know, Dungy was demoted, and he was rushed out of town too by even the front office. There were a lot of leaks. It was like Dungy sensed that the front office wasn't behind him, and then Chuck was forced to demote him, and then Dungy instead quit and became a coordinator and became a great head coach. So the 80s weren't that bleak, as bleak as it is now, even though they're in first place.
Right.
Yeah, they won what, the AFC title game in 84, right?
With Mark Malone. Yeah, I mean, we can make excuses for the quarterbacks. Man, Mark Malone.
How do you get a quarterback, Jim? How does this team get a quarterback? A franchiser. Man.
I'm really surprised at how bad Rodgers is playing. So I thought he would help, but he I thought early in the year, yeah, he just needs some time to get that old arm cranked before he starts completing some deep balls. He's not even close on the deep balls. He missed Roman Wilson by how many yards? So how do you get a quarterback? You know, we had a columnist at Steel City Insider that wrote about Mac Jones. There's a guy.
Yeah, a guy.
I don't know. I like the Oregon kid. And each week the Steelers are plummeting. What are they, 13th right now?
That's a good question. I should look that up.
Yeah, everybody's about even. So 14. maybe a 6-10 record gets you a top 10 pick this year, top 8, because everybody's about.
I don't know. I don't know if these are the quarterbacks, Mark. I hope they don't reach just because it was supposed to be a great quarterback class. And Omar has the weaponry to move up. And Omar told us he wants a quarterback. And, you know, that's why he didn't trade for Jacoby Myers. So I hope they don't reach. And, you know, if they get a top 10 pick, it's just got to be a great player. It may need to be a left tackle. It may need to be a right tackle, if you move Fontano over. I don't know if you've heard, Mark, anything about Broderick Jones's the specifics. I haven't.
I mean, are you gonna pick up his option next year now? Probably not, right?
Well, not now, not with the injury. But you had to start considering it the way he was playing the last two games. You had to contemplate it.
Yeah.
Not now.
It's just
so. I mean, inside linebacker. I mean, they could use a number of positions. I do like what they have at corner now. All of a sudden, they have four corners.
Wow. Except the Darius Slay debacle, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I it was looking for a while like they're going to have to draft a first round corner, but Echols is you know, one of four, Pierre's one of four, and Porter, and it looks like Asante Samuel can be your starter over there.
Yeah, I mean, there's not – you mentioned inside linebacker, maybe another offensive lineman, a linchpin tackle that you could rely on for a long time, given what Broderick Jones has or hasn't been.
But really, there's – level guard.
Yeah, and wide receiver, obviously. I mean, they brought in Adam Thielen. Yeah, I mean, there are spots they could go.
Quarterback, running back, offensive line, coaching
what
staff.
What else do they need?
Owner. Is that
it? Yeah. Coach.
Your first place Steelers, yeah.
Yeah.
It's your first place Steelers that might end up winning the division and have a home playoff game.
Which is, yeah. Which we all know is probably how this thing ends up now that everybody's so pissed off, right? That's probably how this thing goes at this rate.
I don't know. I don't know about you, Jim. I got that different feeling of, man, this is a team I've never seen before, as in how they perform. It just seems like, especially in that second half against Buffalo, seemed like that white flag was out to me, man.
Yeah. Somebody asked me, you know, can they beat the Ravens? I'm like, well, you know, they beat Indianapolis, they beat New England, they played Chicago tough, but I can't pick them against the Ravens. I haven't seen the Ravens. I don't know how bad they are. I hear they're really bad. They can't be this bad.
And Jim, you're normally positive.
I try.
Well, you're even out.
Where can people get the book and let us see it again, Jim?
Amazon, Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
Let me.
There perfect.
We, you know, we Rocky Blyer has a blurb at the top. Rocky checks in. Everybody's a Wolfie guy. He did play in the 80s, but he represented hardcore old school Steelers. You know, they could really use a guard of his caliber. He was an excellent guard. Do you remember him, Kaboom?
Oh, yeah. I had him in my old vibrating football game. You know, you ever remember that thing? I had number 73 there. I always told him about that as well. I said, Wolf, you were my offensive line when I played the vibrating football game. I don't think he understood what I was talking about. Did you know that he went to high school with the great Lex Luger, too, of wrestling fame?
I didn't.
Lots of connections to greatness for Wolf.
A lot of things going on in Orchard Park, New York, back in, I guess, when was he born? Probably the 60s?
60s and 70s.
Is that a professional wrestler or a Superman character?
No, I was a professional wrestler.
Okay.
I believe he played football with him. One of my favorite stories, Jim, I don't know, I'm sure you heard this one about Wolf real quick, is when I think he had some knee problems. He was in the training room. He looked at Wolf and goes, I'm telling the old man, no, I'm not practicing today. I'm done. I'm hurt. And Chuck comes in and goes, you okay today, Wolf? He goes, yep, let's go.
There you go, coach.
Tuncho always told that story, which I thought was hilarious.
there's a story about, you know, Wolf, apparently when he cramped up, it took over his whole body and it shook. And he could feel it coming. So he really tried to stay hydrated to fight it off. Well, one day he couldn't, and his whole body was shaking, and they couldn't wait for – an ambulance had already taken one of the players, so there was no ambulance available. So Dan Rooney Jr. stepped up, and he said, come on, Wolf, get in. I know a shortcut. And Wolf's in the back of – I think it was a van. And Wolf's in the back just didn't know where they were, and all of a sudden they were stuck in a cornfield around St. Vincent College.
That'll get you hydrated.
Dan Rooney Jr. shortcut. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Miss him.
Thanks for coming on today, Jim. We appreciate it. We want people to go check out the book. It's the holiday season. So perfect reading for one of your Steelers fans, family members, or friends. This new book, If These Walls Could Talk, the story of Craig Wolfley. And I can't wait to read it. Can't wait to hopefully it's underneath the Christmas tree. from somebody who's paying attention. And like you said, you know, a look back on a time when Wolf was playing anyway, when it felt pretty bleak at times as a Steelers fan. But to your point, they would turn it around every once in a while and give you hope. And I think that's what a lot of Steeler fans need to be reminded of, us included, is, hey, even when it seems darkest, this is still a franchise that somehow manages to get it pointed in the right direction. And we can only hope that they're going to find that way again in the last 5 weeks this year. And if not, in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you, Chuck Knoll, he brings Chuck Knoll to life. And in Chuck Knoll's bad years, when he would whip a 2-10 team into shape, and then by next year get him with on the doorstep of the AFC Championship game, you really get a feel for superior coaching. And Chuck Knoll's legend. You know, even when times were bad, he was still a great coach.
Wex, we appreciate it, man. Thanks again for the time. Yeah. We hope you enjoy the holidays, you and yours.
Go buy that book.
Yeah, and we can't wait to check out the book, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Right, see you in the locker room, Mark.
All right, we'll see you down there, buddy.
All right, man.
Absolutely. Jim Wexel, great new Craig Wolfley book out now. You can go check it out, If These Walls Could Talk.
Mac, there's half the people that know Craig Wolfley from playing, but there's a whole other generation that knows him from his sidelines, his commentary, and everything else on TV. And so it spans a big part of the fandom's age. I mean, everybody from probably, you know, not newborn, but 12-year-old to 75-year-old knows Craig Wolfley.
Yeah, and again, if you grew up watching the Steelers in the 80s like we did, you remember when it was Wolf and Tunch on the line together, and then, you know, they started to bring in some of the younger guys who, you know, like Wex mentioned, Dermonti Dawson was young at the time, but became another one of those long line of centers in Steelers history that ended up being great. But I remember when Wolf and Tunch both left, right? I think they both went to Green Bay at the same time, didn't they?
Wolf went to Minnesota.
Minnesota?
I don't think he was too pleased with that decision of his.
But I remember them leaving and being like, oh, man, this sucks. These were guys that were relied on during those dark days of the mid to late 80s. But it was all part of the transition at that point. He came back like most people do who spend any significant amount of time with the Steelers. They come back around and, like you said, was great on the sidelines doing color commentary for years. And he and Tunch, I thought, always did a great job of not skipping a beat when Myron retired. Myron was a one in a million, and it was hard. I remember thinking back then, like, man, you don't replace Myron. And Tunch had worked with Myron as well. But it was those guys created a whole personality of their own around the broadcast that I thought was great when they were doing it together.
Last time I talked to Wolf, or last time I remember, was at the playoff game in Baltimore this past year. And they changed the press box in Baltimore. It's garbage. It's like really tight. People bumping into each other. And Wolf's just pacing back and forth. I'm like, Wolf, what the hell's going on? Because I need my coffee. The coffee machine's broke. He keeps going up to all these people. I need some coffee. Where can I get some coffee at? They finally had to go get like one of those big vats and fill it up with coffee just so Wolf could have his pregame coffee.
He was the best.
He was really hyper because he didn't have his pregame coffee.
Just the absolute best. Such a nice dude, too, when you'd run into him. So go check out Jim Wexel's book on Craig Wolfley. It's out now on Amazon and wherever you get your stuff for the holidays. Get it for someone who doesn't maybe know about those days of the 80s.
The Steeler book, playing. Man. Throw it in the stocking. Absolutely.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Thanks to our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. Go get that estimate done today. You want some inside work done. Some exterior work might be a little difficult given the weather, but they get it done. The drywall repair, the painting, the color consultation, all of it. They've been doing it for years, 4 decades. The Higgins family has been getting it done in Pittsburgh, locally owned, family run business. HigginsProfessional.com. Give them a call, 412-344-0480. They'll come out and get the work done for you and do a fantastic job.
Tomorrow, Mac.
What?
They hooked me up with a color consultant. Ooh. That's going to come in here tomorrow and tell me what color to paint this.
What are you going to do? What are you thinking?
whatever she says, because I have no clue. So they set it all up. I mean, I didn't have to do anything. So I know the great Phil had his house done this past weekend. So nice. Everybody's getting ham. Everybody's getting
getting on the Higgins train,
just like Archie's. I drove past there the other day. Archie wasn't open. I see Archie's at the bottom there, and I'm like, if Archie's was open, I'd stop in. As I drive by, Archie's like sitting in the front booth, lights out, just like probably doing his
getting Instagram,
work his Instagram, and his. And I drove by. I'm like, if I'd known that, I would have stopped. Got the kids some wings.
Before we get into Rodgers in a second, real quick, the roster moves. Darius Slay released. Adam Thielen signed. These feel like, and it's nothing against Adam Thielen. 5 years ago, it'd be great to have Adam Thielen.
Thielen was good last year at the end of the season. When he decided not to, I don't know, I tweeted something like this yesterday. They were really interested in Thielen last year at the trade deadline. They could have had him, but he was just coming off that hamstring injury, and they were worried that might not, might pop up again. So they passed on him. So they've been interested in him. So that doesn't make that's not surprising. I mean, I don't think it happened in Minnesota. I mean, and when Justin Jefferson's not getting any balls,
right?
When Jordan Addison's not getting any balls, so
yeah, that's a quarterback problem in Minnesota.
What's it going to hurt at this point? That's the bigger one is Slay. I mean, first of all, Slay, are you like watching your own tape? I mean, you want to go play somewhere else? I mean, you just got beat out by James Pierre because you weren't very good here, and now you want out. It's not a good look for the old big play Slay, I think.
Well, I mean, he wasn't that dude this year at all. I mean,
which is another argument in itself. Why did they think he was that dude?
Well, I mean, look, the drop off happens for corners real quick, and when it happens, it's bad. And I think that's what we saw from Slay. I mean, it was a calculated risk, maybe, going after an aging corner, and it didn't pay off. Like, that's
1 year deal. You can dump him at any time. And that's probably, I mean, we rip on a lot of people ripping on Omar now, but he set this up as you can get out of this, man. I mean, Slay, Gainwell, all those guys. I mean, this roster could be turned over really quick in a year. And I assume it will be.
Yeah, I think the one thing, and you're right, people want to hammer Omar. And I even think, Slay and Thielen, like this field, all these older guys shuttling in and out, Samuel, MVS, it feels very piratey, where you're bringing in all these veterans on these short-term deals, reclamation projects. I will give Omar credit for this. When things have not worked this year, he has, I think, been pretty quick to try his damnedest to do whatever he could to try and fix those problems. Like I said, signing Samuel, adding MVS to the practice squad. Now, once those guys get added, it's no longer on Omar, I don't think, whether they actually get thrown into the lineup or not. That's up to the coaching staff to get them folded.
It might be up to the coaching staff of who he's going after, too.
Yeah.
You think Omar says, I think we should get X, Y, and Z. I don't think it happens that way. Omar would be like, hey, I could get this guy. Do you want him? If he says no, what's Omar going to say? No, I want him. No, it's still at the top. It's still at the top of old Michael Pettaway Tomlin.
You had to drop the middle name in?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it is. I mean, it's still everything funnels to him. You might say there's somebody above him. Yeah. But when the owner gives a guy of 20 years full run of the organization, basically, he's responsible.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think that's part of the point that I'm making, that like Omar is doing his damnedest to go out and get guys who he, who might fit, who he hopes, based on what Michael Pettaway Tomlin is telling him, could be a fit. And so, Adam Thielen wants to play football. That's why he's coming to Pittsburgh, because he's going to get an opportunity to play right away. I don't know if that'll result in anything or not, but he's going to play right away.
What's it going to harm? That's the way I look at it. What is it going to harm to bring him in right now? And I don't think it harms anything whatsoever. Give him a shot. Who knows? Yeah. He might be better than what you have. He might be a bum. And what do you lose from it? You don't lose anything from it.
Fewer targets for Pat Freiermuth, who's basically on the back of a milk carton right now anyway.
I mean, I'm just hoping. I am just trying to hammer this as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I wrote the story, whatever, 2 days ago or 2 weeks ago, whenever the hell I wrote it, about how little he's getting played and trying to hammer that. So maybe the masses will pick it up and all of a sudden it's like, man, we better get this guy involved. I don't understand why
he wouldn't be involved in the first place. I think you writing the story and putting the numbers out there for them to realize that Pat's not on the field enough when you've got one guy basically in this offense who can effectively work the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, our friend Ray Fittipaldo said they don't want him to play against man coverage. I mean, I haven't really snooped around that much to be able to somebody tell me that. I'm sure it's potentially true, but how do you know if a team's going to play man until you're out there?
You snap the ball, right?
I guess, I mean, what they're most noted for. But still, I mean, I can understand if it was you're putting up gaudy numbers, mm-hmm. but you're not.
No.
So try something else like this guy,
This That's guy who I you're see. Paying as a top 10 tight end.
Try him. I mean, it's not like he all of a sudden sucked in a year.
No.
I mean, he had 500 pass routes run last year. He's on pace for about 230 this year. What does that tell you?
Mismanagement. That's what it tells me.
I mean, he has to be frustrated as hell.
No, but he won't let on to that.
No, he has to be. I mean, wouldn't you?
I'm frustrated for him. So, yeah, I'm sure he's frustrated. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show as well. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They'll help you get it done stress-free. Go to heckteamhomes.com. You can check out listings there as well. H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to move, buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of you. The Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. We appreciate Dan and the team supporting the show. Aaron Rodgers supposedly had all the offensive skill guys over for a little birthday film session last night. Here's my question.
How's that even happen? Hey, let's go celebrate my birthday at my house.
I don't think the birthday thing was probably part of his idea. I think that probably got voiced.
It just happened to be a off day on Tuesday.
Ben Skoranek just happened to show up with an ice cream cake and say, "Hey, you're 42 now, old man. And happy birthday."
Johnny never showed up.
don't put that out there unless we know
that. I never even heard this, so I haven't been paying attention. So,
yeah, it was reported that there was a whole bunch of people that showed up to Rogers' house to watch film together last night. And after the way he reacted to Jonnu running the wrong route, which has been diagnosed and carved up on social media over the last 72 hours to a great extent, I think initially a lot of people went, I can't believe Rodgers would throw Jonnu under the bus like that. And now I think when you hear when you stop to think about, okay, maybe guys aren't getting together to watch film the way Rodgers wants or the way the team wants them to. Maybe guys are missing meetings. We don't know. We're not there in the meeting rooms. I think there's a valuable question here about part of the reason they brought Aaron Rodgers in was to be that veteran leadership that they haven't had at quarterback really for the last, 5 years. You can say what you want about Russell Wilson, but I don't know how much people bought into that. They brought him in for that reason. So this is where that accountability factor comes in. And I don't have a problem with Aaron Rodgers necessarily. You know, a lot of people are going to compare it to when he threw Mike Williams under the bus last year in New York. But I don't look at it the same. I look at it as a guy who's a part of a failing offense right now. And maybe some of it has to do with what he can or can't do anymore physically. But he's doing all he can, I think, with his physical tools. Mentally, he's still that dude. I mean, again, he gives Jonnu the sign to run a different route and Jonnu doesn't. This is the kind of stuff where you need, it may not be comfortable for everybody involved. You need the veteran leadership to step up and say, okay, no, this is what we're doing from here on out to get things going in the right direction.
Yeah, especially with the, you know, game so close, they play here and they play there, ultimately decides the outcome of the game. So I just wonder how Jonnu did take that. I mean, it was.
But is Jonnu still integral to this offense? That it matters.
But he made it. Did he not make it sound like Jonnu may have missed that sign because he wasn't there for film study? I mean, I'm probably taking a lot of liberties here in thinking that.
I mean, I think we're adding up 2 and 2 and maybe getting 4.5 there, but I don't think it's totally off that those two things could be tied together. I think more than likely he looked at Jonnu, gave him the sign, and Jonnu didn't see it for whatever reason. I don't know. But here nor there, if it comes up that guys aren't putting in the work during the week, I mean, you could see the two things as somewhat aligned. And I guess my point is, I'd rather have the accountability from Rodgers right now, because to Wexel's point, when Jim was on earlier, Arthur Smith's not the best communicator in the world. So who knows how Arthur Smith is getting through to these guys about things they may have missed during the week. We know, if nothing else, Aaron Rodgers is going to say, hey, Mark, get a better pair of wired headphones.
That's the problem.
Hey, guys, run the right route. And so he's not afraid to piss people off. And I think I think that's exactly what this offense needs right now, somebody to call guys out on the carpet and say, hey, do the right thing.
Well, who else is going to do it offensively?
I mean, Pat's probably the next most tenured guy on offense, right? We just talked about how he's basically not a part of it.
And he tries his ass off to be a leader. And you can see that over the last year or two, him wanting to step up. But he has to probably feel a little bit weird, like, I can't even get on the field. I'm trying to tell these guys what to do. Type of situation. I mean, anybody on the offensive line, I guess you look at Sayamalu, but his communication skills are up there with Artie Smith. There is none. Who else you got? You know,
that's it.
So you have, I mean, Jaylen Warren isn't the guy that's going to go to bat. DK Metcalf seems like he's more interested in fighting with the guy across from him than anything else. So, I mean, it's by default, but I think Rodgers is fine. I mean, if there's one guy that I look on this offense, or, you know, even on the team, is saying, you know, that's what a Steeler should be, I think it's Aaron Rodgers. I think he's an old school Steeler type of player.
From the preparation standpoint and from, again, the mental aspect, physically, I don't know if he can do anything close to what he was able to do. I mean, we're really seeing, I think, the physical deterioration of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it doesn't help when he gets the hell beat out of him back there.
Yeah, I mean, plus, you know, they're not using arguably two of his top three weapons in Warren and Freiermuth to their extent, and they're taking away Metcalf. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Then you add on to that he is 42. I mean, he's probably thinking, damn, who am I going to throw this to?
And how am I going to get it to them? Because my arm doesn't do what I want it to do anymore.
I think it's good enough. I mean, a lot of times is overrated. Malik Willis once, during the combine, did the old 360 whirly bird and threw the ball 90 yards down the field. Okay, great. But he couldn't, you know, decipher a simple zone from a man defense, right? So I think arm strength and stuff like that is very overrated.
I don't think it's just arm strength. I think all of the physical stuff folds in on top of each other. The fear of getting hit, the uncomfortability in the pocket, and then that affects your ability to get the ball downfield in an accurate way. I think we're seeing all that fold in on top of itself with Rodgers' physical performance. Again, his mental performance, still on point. His ability to lead, I think, still on point, as we've seen in the last week. But it's the physical part that I worry about, especially with still broken bones in his left wrist. That's not going to change anytime soon. Thanks to Arch for supporting the show. You mentioned him earlier. Stop down to Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday night. So, yeah, that includes tonight. Get on down there. Best place to watch the games if you're not actually at the games. Great sandwiches, burgers, flatbread, pizzas, too. And, of course, I should say, ice cold iron and IC light always on tap. Get on down to Archie's on Carson, our favorite place for wings and sports. And what else do you need in life but wings and sports?
Beer.
All right. Beer and sports. What else do you need? All right, before we pick someone out of the chat, and this is your last chance to jump in to try and win the Arnold Palmer limited edition hat from Shop 412 for the 412 Days of Christmas. Before we do that, There is a Thursday night game tomorrow, Kaboom, that we have to pick. Dallas, Detroit. This is a big one. Both of them coming off of interesting Thanksgiving Day outcomes. Everybody thinks maybe the Cowboys are starting to put some things together. Everybody's worried about Detroit. Not sure what Amon-Ra St. Brown's availability is going to be for a while going forward. So Dallas, Detroit on Thursday night. Who you got?
Well, considering, you read that, Mac? Can you read
what
it?
Is that? Yeah, NFL picks champion, 22-23.
In the country, buddy. Look how people keep asking.
Is that a horse?
That's what see people say. Why they send you a trophy with a horse and a horseshoe? I'm like, no,
why the hell not?
I just found this the other day.
All right, mister. Well, you're behind me in our picks competition this year by a couple games. So make a pick for Dallas, Detroit.
Where's it at?
Detroit. That's Detroit, if you don't speak French.
I know. I'm still a big Detroit fan. Give me the Lions on this one, even though the Cowboys are surprising me more and more by the day. It seems like Jerry Jones might get the last laugh in this whole thing afterwards, huh? You might make the playoffs, get rid of Mike, and get a bunch of picks. And
pump the brakes on the playoff stuff there, bud.
Well,
pump
the brakes. Yeah, the Eagles are just so great.
I didn't say the Eagles were great. They're off.
Your buddy Jackson Dart, Mr. Future MVP, is like 2-6.
Well, look at what he's got around him. In fairness.
Now we care what's around him.
No, you always care what's around your quarterback, obviously.
You are still fudging their records.
I am not fudging anything. The Cowboys, by the way, have an 18% chance to make the playoffs. So they would have to start a hell of a run to get in.
Then the Steelers have like a 90% chance of making the playoffs before the Cincinnati game. Just realize how off-center this thing is.
Yeah, you got to get that fixed. All right, I'm going to go with Detroit. Wait. Just because I think Jameer Gibbs is going to have a huge game. So
it up a little bit.
Fix up your plastic picks trophy.
What a piece of shit.
All right, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back on Friday.
There's a shock.
With a full preview of the Steelers-Ravens matchup. In the meantime, make sure you're following on social media. Let's give somebody – I'm going to scroll through all the comments and just pick somebody at random.
Why don't I get the pick?
Do you want to pick? Go ahead. You do it. Come on. We're up against it here. I got to go on Baltimore Radio in a second.
Since the golf hat, the first person that makes a tells me who the best golfer in the world is right now. Who is it? Let's see who it is.
What do you want from people?
Somebody comment who the best golfer in the world is right now.
Does it have to be a right answer?
There you go. Shraz won.
Shraz 45 says Scotty Scheffler.
There you go. He won. We'll give it to Shraz.
There you go. Shraz, you got to get a hold of us on social media. Send us a message, and we'll get you this. Shot 412, limited edition. Look at that. Custom Arnold Palmer hat. We'll get it shipped out to you just in time for the holidays during the 412 days of Christmas.
Shraz on the ball. See how that worked? Now we got a golf fan, a commenter.
Look at
somebody can appreciate it.
That was a good job by you. Shraz 45, reach out to us on social media. We'll get you hooked up. And we'll be back on Friday. Sound good, Kaboom?
Who'd you pick again? Detroit.
I picked Detroit, both of us.
Why do you have to go on Baltimore radio?
Because they asked me to go on.
Are you going to drop the podcast name or no?
Of course.
All right.
Come on. I'm not an amateur. All right. We'll see you again on Friday. Bye.